Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which you have ministered to us so far this morning. Lord, we thank you for the burdens that have been lifted, Lord, for the peace that you have released into our lives, into our hearts. And Lord, this morning as we look into your word, we ask you for insights and understanding. Father, I pray, O God, that the eyes of our hearts, O God, will be enlightened this morning. Father, I ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ to be our portion, our experience this morning. Father, we ask that above all, that Christ and Christ alone will be seen and exalted as your word comes forth. Lord, I pray that there will be faith in our hearts to receive your word. Lord, I pray that each person, oh God, will receive from you, whether it be through me or apart from me. Well, Lord, I pray that no one would leave here without hearing from you this morning. And so, Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, and amen. So I want to share a word of encouragement with us this morning. It's a word that is good for this time of the year. I don't normally share anything special or different during this October month, but a couple of weeks back, the Lord dropped this message into my heart, which fits in with this time. I was doing something routine, and the question came to my mind, which I think was a question from the Lord. Do you know who is scared of me? Do you know who is scared of me? And I thought, I tried to be like Ezekiel and say, Lord, you know. And so that's where this message comes from. Look at who is really scared. And initially I called it, look at who is really scared now. And the Lord says, no. This being has been scared for a long time. It's not just now. And that if we, his people, would get a glimpse into how scared this being is, it would affect our faith and affect our walk and our life. So turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 2 and verse 19. James chapter 2 and verse 19. And it says, you know, James is talking about faith. And he's saying faith without works is dead. And he says here, talking to his readers, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. And they have faith. So they don't just believe it and nothing happens. It says they believe it and they shut up. They get scared. They tremble. They shake. If they wore boots, I'd say they would shake in their boots. So we need to realize that the being who's really scared of God is the devil and all of his hosts. They're very, very scared of the Lord. You know, when Satan was created, he was created perfect. Perfect in beauty, perfect in wisdom. Isaiah 14 and verse 12 says this. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star. The King James says, O Lucifer, son of the dawn. So this being was in heaven, and he has fallen from heaven. O morning star, son of the dawn, you have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I'll raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the top of the clouds. I'll make myself like the Most High. That's Isaiah 14, verse 12 through to 14. And verse 15 says, but you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. That's the NIV. It says brought down, which is really diluting the strong word there in the Hebrew. It really meant he was thrown down. Brought down, you know, come and get someone like you have a little child and you gently put the little child down. But it wasn't anything like that. When Satan rebelled against God, he was cast out and he didn't even know what hit him. It was a quick and swift thing. You look like you don't believe me. Turn to Luke's gospel. Most of you know that when I share, somebody said that one of the messages, there were like 54 different scriptures. Most of you know that when I share, I don't share my opinion or my thoughts. In fact, the Lord corrected me recently because I used to say to people things like, I don't care what you do. In my opinion, you're free to do whatever you want to do, but my opinion doesn't count. What counts is God's word. And the Lord corrected me. This is just me, not you, just me. The Lord said, so you have an opinion that's different from my word? And I just say, well, I don't want to answer that. And the Lord says, so what do you think about my word? And his word is true. So if his word is true, how can I have an opinion different from what is true? And so he has corrected me. So now I'm saying to people, listen, what God's word says is true irrespective of what you believe. So you believe you can live any way you want to live. God says that that type of living is wrong. And I agree with God's word. You see? So I'm no longer trying to give them some little way to get out of it, not trying to make me. No, I'm like, I'm agreeing with God's word. So if God's word says this is wrong, I'm agreeing with God's word. So I came to realize then that when Satan rebelled against God, this is what the word of God says in Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Well, verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Like lightning from heaven. In other words, it was so swift. It was so quick. It was like, wah! How dare you seek to become like the Most High? How dare you seek to establish your throne above the throne of the Most High? And with a quick bam, you're out of here. And from that moment, Satan has been scared of God. I never thought about it before. I thought when he came before God with the sons of God concerning Job, I thought he came, you know, boldly, but he didn't. He came, you know, when Simba was learning to roar in Lion King, and eventually Simba learned to roar, and the hyenas, I think, were just trembling. I think that's how Satan came along with the sons of God. He was like hiding. I don't know if he has a tail, but if he did, his tail was between his legs. If he was human, he'd be wetting himself. He was scared, trying to hide from God, even as he came before God, and God was like, come, give an account for yourself. Where have you been? He says, well, I've been through the earth, roaring to and fro the earth. And then God says, have you considered my servant Job? You see, we are the ones who have been washed in the blood, who can come boldly before the throne of grace, according to Hebrews. But the devil doesn't come boldly into God's presence. He comes with fear and trembling because he's scared of God. And if you can get that picture in your mind, it will cause you to realize that I have no reason also to fear the devil. Look like you're not convinced. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1. I should have it somewhere here. Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." In other words, he started to tremble. He started to shake at the very presence of Christ. And he couldn't keep quiet because of all the fear and trembling. He's like, "Have you come to destroy us?" Church, the devil and his minions are very, very scared of our God. He's scared because, one, he has been cast down. Two, he knows his destiny. So that's why they were here like, "Have you come to destroy us?" In one other situation, they were like, "Don't send us into the pit." There's no reasoning. There's no like, "Let's have a conversation." Jesus is like, "No, get out of here. Come out of him and be quiet." And the people were amazed. The demons knew who Jesus was. They said, "We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And so they were scared and fearful. In another account, they said, "We know who you are. You are the Son of God." They know their destiny. Their destiny is a lake of fire. And so they said, "Don't destroy us yet." Jesus says in Matthew 25, when he's separating the sheep from the goat, he says the goats are going to end up in the lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. So he knows his destiny. And he knows he has been cast on. He knows he has been defeated. And the beautiful thing is, all of this happened, friends, before Jesus Christ went to the cross. The devil has been scared of God long before Christ went to the cross. His destiny was determined long before Jesus went to the cross. So why did Jesus go to the cross? Good question, Pastor Joe. Let's talk about the storyline of humans. God created us in his likeness and in his image. Genesis 1. We were created a little lower than the angels. Psalm chapter 8. Says this. Verse 4. Psalm 8 verse 4. "What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you cared for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings or than the angelic beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet." So when God created man and said rule over the earth, he gave us the authority to rule over the earth, over everything that would move. And if even Adam had understood the authority, when the devil appeared as a snake, they would have said, "Get out of here. We have authority over the earth. We don't need to listen to you. You need to listen to us." So we were created lower than the angels, but God made us in his image and likeness, and the devil hates us because he hates God. And every time he looks at us, the devil that is, he sees and remembers what has happened to him because he sees the image and likeness of God inside of us. But we were made to rule. And because Adam and Eve sinned, they forfeited that authority for a little while. And the devil just took it up and started to roam the earth. And so when you read the New Testament, you hear Jesus calling him the ruler of this world. You hear Paul talk about him as the God of this age that has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And so Christ's death on the cross was not only to redeem us because of our sin and bring us back into fellowship with God, but it was also to take back from the devil the authority the devil thought that he had. And that's why Christ could say after his resurrection, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth and under the earth. But even before that, going back to Luke chapter 10, and verse 17, reading it again. It says, the 72 returned with joy. In fact, Luke chapter 9 and verse 1 says, when he called the 12, he gave them authority over evil spirits and sent out the 12. And now here comes the 72. And they come back and they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They didn't expect it. They were like, whoa! They figured they could go and pray for a few sick people and do a few things. But Christ had delegated to them authority. And so they went out and they were amazed that even the demons submitted to them. Even the demons were fearful of them. And so Christ affirmed some things. He said, again, verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you, past tense, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. I have given you authority to trample over all of the power of the enemy. So even from before he went to the cross, he gave the 72 disciples this authority. So the enemy actually, if you realize it, is afraid of the believer who knows who he or she is and understands authority that he or she has been given. You see, not only is he afraid of God, but he's afraid of the child of God who understands that I am a child of God, as we were singing earlier. I'm no longer a slave to fear. That spirit of fear has to leave because I know who I am and the authority that I have been given. And that's why when you read through the book of Acts, you don't find the apostles having any problems. As they turn upon the scene, the enemy leaves. Because the enemy is really also scared of the child of God who knows who he or she is and the authority that he or she has. So as you go about your daily affairs, if you know who you are, it makes a big difference as to how you approach things. Paul, in writing in Ephesians, says that Christ is seated far above all principalities and powers and every name that can be named in this age and the age to come in chapter 1. In chapter 2, he goes on to say, we as believers who are in Christ are seated in the same place. We have been given the authority. It has been taken back from the enemy and given unto us to fulfill God's purpose in the earth. Satan knows this. And so he's a sneaky little fellow. He's crafty because of his distorted wisdom. And what he tries to do, his strategy is to try and prevent you and I from knowing who we really are. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10, verse 10. And what he does, he comes with all of his lies and all of his distortion about God's word. And if you listen to the lies, then he gets you in his snare. You see? And so that's why with Christ said Satan's the father of lies. And if he's speaking, he's going to be speaking lies, which is his native tongue. John Kilpatrick says, if Satan's mouth is moving, it's a lie coming forth. That's what he does because he understands some stuff. And so what he tries to do is to lie to you and to me about who we are. The first and greatest identity thief is the devil. And he comes with all of his questions and his doubts. Are you really a child of God? Have God really given you any authority? He comes with all of his questions, with all of his lies. I've been surprised that Christians actually believe in stuff that the devil told somebody who was serving the devil. I'm like, so here's somebody who was serving the devil, and the devil said to them, you know what, during this time of the year, he likes when certain things happen. I'm like, so the devil is talking to his own servants. You think he's going to be telling them the truth? What he's scared of is the Christians understanding who they are and taking back their authority. Listen to my friends. This is 31st of October. Any of those days, God created them. The devil didn't create anything, and he doesn't deserve any day. Every day belongs to the child of God. Amen. And you and I need to understand our authority and let the devil know, back up, we are taking over. We have been given the authority over the earth. It amazes me. Trying to tell me that, well, because it's the 31st of October, you shouldn't really go out there and try and reach people. You should lock yourself away behind closed doors. And I'm like, what? The devil is really scared of me. He's the one who should be locked behind closed doors. So he's trying to distort the truth and to lead people into witchcraft and into false religions and to cause Christians to sit down and do nothing. Cause Christians to think that the devil is so big and so scary. So they're afraid of the devil. I'm like, are you kidding me? Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 3, he says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so Satan seeks to blind the minds of people, especially the unsaved. And he lies to them, saying, listen, this is more fun. Getting high up on meth is more fun than serving God. Telling them all sort of lies and destroying their lives. So as you and I appreciate how the enemy works, it helps us to know how to respond. The enemy uses people because he tells them lies and they open up themselves to him. And he uses people to come against the church, to come against the people of God, and to come against each other. But we need to remember that even though he uses people, it's a spirit behind it that you and I war against. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. He told them that because flesh and blood was coming against them. But Paul was saying, listen, they're not the ones we're wrestling against. We are wrestling against the principalities and the powers and the spiritual darkness that are in the heavenly places. He's telling them that in chapter 6, but he already told us in chapter 2 that we are way above them in authority. So we're wrestling from a place of authority, wrestling from a place of victory. Satan comes and he tries to manipulate situations. Tries to throw things in our path to distract us, prevent us from fulfilling God's will and purposes. He comes against us with all sorts of stuff, with temptations, with unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness gives him a foothold in our lives. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 4, you know, don't let the sun go down in your wrath and don't give the enemy a foothold. So he understands this. So you get hurt and he comes and says, don't forgive. That person doesn't deserve forgiveness. While in the back of his mind he's saying, if you listen to me, I'll get a foothold in your life and create havoc. And so, if you and I appreciate the truth, that's why Christ said to his disciples, if you believe in me, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. So he doesn't want us to know the truth. He comes with his lies and plays upon our emotions and whispers in our ears all sort of stuff. Just as he did with Eve. And you and I need to realize that's the devil. Get away from me, Satan. Here's a powerful scripture. James chapter 4 and verse 7, 7 through to 10. James 4, 7 through to 10. It says, submit yourselves then to God. That's the order of stuff. Submit yourself then to God. Submit every area of your life to God. Come under God's rulership. Resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he'll gradually walk away from you. Resist the devil, and he will just take his own sweet time and walk away from you. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I've looked up this verse in all different translations. This is a miracle in itself. And all of them have the word flee right there. Yeah. And he will flee from you. Because you're submitted to God. You're under God's rulership. You're functioning with God's authority. And now you're resisting him. And so once he realizes that, it's not like he says, oh boy. No, he picks up his stuff and he runs. Why? Because he's scared of the child of God who submitted to God and walking with God's authority. If we can get it into our spirits, it will change how we think and how we function. So James goes on to say, let me show you how to submit to God. He says, come near to God. Draw near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Deal with your stuff. Deal with the things in your heart. Turn away from your sinful stuff. Grieve and mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. So I realize as the enemy comes against us, he comes against us sometimes directly. He attacks you physically, attacks you sometimes in your sleep. He builds strongholds in our minds and how we think, and Paul says we must pull down those strongholds. Then it starts with me submitting every area of my life to the Lord, submitting my thoughts to the Lord, submitting my mind to the Lord. Doing what he says, Paul says in Ephesians, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, the things that are honorable, the things that are true. We sang earlier that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a disciplined mind. Because he's going to attack you and me in our thoughts. And so I've got to learn to control my thoughts. I've got to learn to think on the things of God, not to allow the devil to cause my thoughts to wander off. And when he bombards us sometimes, many of you know those battles. For us to call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I'm submitting my mind to you. I'm going to call to remembrance of your word. I'm going to pray through this thing. Let me look at Luke 10 and verse 17 again. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They grasped something about the name of Jesus. And so you and I need to appreciate the authority and the power that is tied up into the name of Jesus Christ. And we're coming against him in the name of the Lord. We sang earlier about the Lord of hosts. He's the one who fights for us. And the enemy responds to the name of Jesus. So 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And so the battle of the mind, the thoughts, making them captive to Christ. Speaking to our thoughts sometimes, speaking to myself, you're going to think on these things. We have to know and obey the truth I have here in my notes. Because Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Many times we get free through power encounters. Somebody pray for you and things break. But then to walk in that freedom, you have to know the truth. Truth of who you are. Truth of how God sees you and me. How much he loves us. The truth of the fact that the enemy is defeated. That we have been given the authority over him. We have to learn that even when people come against us, that we need to learn to forgive and to love people and to realize the spirits that will manipulate people and use people. Revelation 12 and verse 11 says, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives even unto death." You have to appreciate that the blood of Christ has given us victory over the enemy. He was already defeated when he was kicked out of heaven. But now we have the authority over him because of the blood of Christ. We have been given authority and power because of the work of Jesus Christ. And we need to open our mouths and testify as to what God has done. And how God has intervened in our lives and in our circumstances. Because our testimony brings glory to God and builds faith in others and reminds the devil of his defeat. And so many of you get touched, you get healed, and the devil will say, "Don't say anything because you might get sick again next week." And so you just listen to the devil. And don't testify. Or the devil comes and says, "Don't get too serious about God, because if you get too serious, I'm going to send more demons after you." He does it. He says, "Don't get too serious." Because he doesn't want you to know your authority. It doesn't matter whether it be one demon or a legion of demons, as the man was in the tombs. That same set of demons crying out, saying, "Lord, don't send us back to the abyss," according to Luke's version of the story. That same set of demons cried out, "We know who you are. You are the Son of God." It doesn't matter whether it be one or a thousand. We have to seek the Lord and go after him. And not love our lives even unto death. It doesn't matter what the devil might tell people to do. It doesn't matter how the world might come against us. Because Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And Paul went on to say, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. We need to learn to be people of worship. To worship the Lord in word and in deed. Present our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord. And to realize the power in worship. Because as we worship the Lord and exalt Him, the enemy flees. Psalm 149 says, you bind the nobles with fetters of iron. It brings freedom, it brings deliverance. But the devil said, you don't need to get all that excited about God. I mean, you can worship Him when you go to church. You don't need to worship Him at home. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You see? And we need to continue to share the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. This is lying that the enemy tells people, you know, it tells one that, you know, the word doesn't work. And so some people actually become shy to share the gospel. Well, listen to me, friends. The word of God is true. So even if you share the gospel to 100 people and they don't respond to Christ, the gospel is still the truth. You understand what I'm saying? Their response is not what determines the truth. You can go out there and take all your polls and find out how many of you have heard the gospel and responded to it. And it might be 2%. Does that mean the gospel doesn't work? You don't know the truth of God's word and the power of God's word based upon polls. You know the truth of God's word because God said it. And that settles it. Many of the people that are involved right now in healing, they prayed for scores of people and they didn't get healed until after a sudden there was a breakthrough. It happened with Heidi Baker. It happened with people like Randy Clark. God's word is true. I don't need to hear from psychologists and psychiatrists. I mean, I'm not saying that they don't have valuable information, but in terms of the truth of God's word, as to how you should live. So many things passed nowadays in churches and from pastors, making it seem as if, well, God's word doesn't work, but what this psychologist say over here works. And I'm like, give me a break. God's word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so we share the gospel. This is what has the power to change and transform people's lives. To change the vilest of sinners and make them into the purest of saints in the eyes of God. That's one of the weapons of our warfare, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask, is it Daniel? Who's coming back? So look who's really scared now. Can you picture in your mind that the devil is really, really scared of God? Can you imagine what would happen if a church understood who they are? The devil can imagine it, and he's really scared. He's working overtime, trying to keep the people of God passive, trying to create division in the church, trying to tell people that they're less than who God says they are, trying to create problems in their families, keeping them distracted all over. But our warfare is not against flesh and blood. We are advancing the kingdom of God using spiritual weapons, starting with knowing who we are, so we don't get destroyed because of lack of knowledge. We know who we are. We know the authority He has given unto us. We know the power of the name of Jesus Christ. We know the power of the blood of the Lamb. We know the power of worship. We know the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Let us stand. So this morning, maybe there's some area in your life where there's still a struggle. Where you're still not seeing what you know the Word of God says. You're not seeing it being realized in your life. Maybe it's in your thought life. You still have a battle. Maybe it's in your own inner man. Maybe you have been hurt, and still that hurt is there. Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. Maybe there's some circumstance that you have been believing God for. Maybe it's a family member who's not walking with the Lord as they should. And you're saying, Joe Cameron, would someone pray with me this morning? Would someone stand with me this morning so that I might experience the breakthrough, the victory that there is in Christ? So that the stronghold might be pulled down. If that's you, I'm going to encourage you to come on up front this morning so we can pray with you. Anybody in this house? Let's all be in an attitude of prayer. We're going to pray for those who have come forward. And since I read this morning of Jesus laying hands on those children, I just want to touch each person who has come forward and believe with them for the breakthrough for which they're trusting God. So the rest of you just be in an attitude of worship and prayer as we pray for those who have come forward.
goodness of God.
Let's just sing this song to the Lord.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Father, thank you for your many promises towards us. Lord, I pray for us who are here in this room and for those who are participating online. Father, I pray for increased freedom and victory in our lives. Lord, you says we shall know the truth and the truth would make us free. And so, Lord, I pray, oh God, that each of us would find increasing freedom in our lives. Lord, even as we learn to submit to you, even if we learn to submit our thoughts, our mind, our plans, every area of our lives to you, Lord, we also turn and resist the devil. We resist all of his plans, resist all of his negative thoughts in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, this morning, I thank you for freedom. I thank you, O God, that every fear is broken off your people this morning. Fear of all different shapes, all different sizes. Lord, we uproot that spirit of fear and we command it to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you have given unto us a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And Lord God, we receive that afresh this morning in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we thank you, God, for intervening in our circumstances. And Lord, everywhere where the enemy has put his ugly self, oh God, we command him to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for our loved ones, for bringing them back into the fold. Bring them back, oh God, to serve you with passion and with zeal in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that every stronghold in their lives would be brought down. Lord God, as we sing many times, Lord, we declare Jesus in their lives, Jesus in the darkness. Jesus over every circumstance pertains to our loved ones, pertains to the prodigals. Jesus, oh God, Jesus, we ask for your intervention. We ask, oh God, for freedom. We ask, oh God, for bringing them back, oh God, to serve you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we thank you. We thank that we have a Father who loves us, a Father who cares for us. Now we think that we are not orphans, but we are children of the Most High God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have called us, oh God, to walk in the victory of Christ, to lead us from victory unto victory. Lord God, we thank you that you have called us to move from glory to glory, Lord, through your transformation. And so, Lord God, this morning we thank you for your ever-increasing presence in our lives. And Lord, as we go forth from here, Lord, we ask, oh God, that your spirit might go with us. We ask, oh God, that your angels might accompany us. And we ask, oh God, that we might continue to see victory wherever we go. Victory personally and victory amongst those that we interact with. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for who you are. And that there are no limits, nothing, oh God, that you cannot intervene in and turn around. And so, Lord, we thank you for those victories this morning. And we give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.